Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
We finished our study of the Psalms yesterday, and today I want to take a special subject that is a one-off, and it's linked to this time of the year. I want to speak upon where, why, and when was Jesus born. That's what I want to look at. So we'll read a few verses, please, from Luke chapter 2. We sang that lovely hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And of course it's linked to this chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel. And we'll read from the verse 8 of chapter 2 of Luke. And there were in the same country, that is, round about Bethlehem. I remember when I visited Israel back in the early 1980s, 1982 or 3, we went to Bethlehem, and we were brought to the fields which we were assured were the fields where the shepherd were here in this story we're reading of. And it was nice to look out on the expanse of pasture and think that it most likely was indeed the very place where the shepherds were when the angel appeared. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid, exceedingly afraid. Boys and girls, the glory of God, the wonder, the splendor of God will cause men to fear, because they realize that they're in the presence of the Almighty, the one who holds their lives in His hand. Now men go from day to day and never think about that, but when they are made to think about it, they're sore afraid. They're sore afraid, just like these shepherds. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. They were afraid, but the angel says there's no need for you to be afraid. Listen to me, boys and girls. We don't need to fear the Lord. He is kind and merciful and has nothing but mercy intended for us. He would have us enjoy His mercy and His love. So the shepherds are told, don't be frightened. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts and bless us as we give some thought to what it is we read here. Now, girls and boys, I want to speak on the subject that I have already given you the title of, because despite all the noise surrounding December the 25th, Christmas Day, they call it. It is obvious that great ignorance attaches to those on this matter of the Saviour's birth, indeed on all matters pertaining to our Lord and Saviour. I want to have you think today on where it was Jesus was born, why it was Jesus was born, and when it was Jesus was born. First of all, the angels told the shepherds where Jesus was born, where He was to be found. God wants you to know where you can find the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be in ignorance of this. God wants us to know. And there never was such an announcement made as that which was made to the shepherds. It was made by a mighty angel, but that mighty angel was accompanied, I think I would be right in saying, by millions of angels, a great host, and they were all singing. What an announcement. What an announcement to these poor shepherds. Simple, humble men, wouldn't have been thought much of, I'm sure, in their community. But what an announcement is here made to them regarding the Christ of God. They're told where he is to be found, in the city of David, Bethlehem, verse 15. Bethlehem, the city of David, that's where David was born. And of course, as you know, in the Bible, you have many little pictures that represent the Lord Jesus Christ. David was a picture of Christ. He was a king, just like the Lord Jesus, but he was born in Bethlehem of the royal tribe and the royal family within that tribe. So it was with the Lord Jesus. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. Now, that is a wonderful name for the city in which the Lord Jesus was born, because in his life, during the time he was teaching, he told the people, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 6, the verse 35, the verse 48, and the verse 51, he says this over again and again, I am the bread of life. He repeats that because he wants you to know it. He wants you to understand that he is the bread of life. The bread that gives life. The only bread that gives life. It's written in the scriptures, and the Lord Jesus quoted it when he faced the devil at the beginning of his ministry. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 4, the verse 4. He said to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, we all eat bread. The chances are that every one of us had a piece of bread before we left home this morning. And bread is the most common of all food. Bread, in one form or another, is eaten by everybody in the world. Physically, we depend on it to impart to us physical life, to sustain us, to strengthen us. The Lord said, you'll not live by bread alone, the loaf that you buy from the shop. That will help you. It'll give you some strength, but it'll not really sustain you. You have to go back again and again and again to that loaf, because while it helps you for a short time, it will not give you everlasting life. The Word of God will. Jesus is the Word of God. He's called the Word. And as such, when we feed upon him, he becomes the bread of life to us. So we were born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. That was a good title for the city in which he was born. And then secondly, the angels told the shepherds why the Lord Jesus was born. I would say the average person today who is supposed to be celebrating the birth of Christ in their activities surrounding the 25th of December, if you were to ask them, why did the Lord Jesus come? They could hardly tell you. They could hardly tell you. Yet it's made very plain in the Bible why he came. And the angels told the shepherds very clearly why it was the Lord Jesus came. Look at what it says. And the verse 10 says, the angel said, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Now, in those words, you have an explanation of why it was Christ came. The angels use three titles. They didn't say, there is born unto you Jesus. No, they included three different titles. There is born unto you a Savior. That's why he came, a Savior. Boys and girls, you need a Savior. I need a Savior. The word Savior means deliverer, preserver. That's what the word means. Boy, do we need one to deliver us, and one who, having delivered us, preserves us, keeps us. And the Lord Jesus described himself as the good shepherd who goes out after the sheep that's lost. And what does he do? He comes to it, he takes it up in his arms, and he puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it all the way home. He didn't drive it in front of him, which would have been kind had he done so. But he did more than that. He took it up on his arms, laid it on his shoulders, and carried it. You see, it was lost, probably was weary, weak, and he knew that. And so he didn't require of it that it walk all the way back. But he took it up on his arms, tenderly, gently, laid it on his mighty shoulders, carried it all the way home. That's what the Lord Jesus does for all that he finds, for all that he saves. If you're saved today, do you know who you are? Oh, you say, I'm sitting here in school. Well, yes, you are. But spiritually, you're resting on the shoulders of Christ. That's who you are. Safe, secure, But there's another title here. He's called Savior, which is Christ. You know, there is no more common blasphemy than the use of this name by wicked men. And all who use it as a blasphemy are wicked. It's a wicked thing to take the name of the Lord in vain. And there is no name of the Lord that is more commonly taken in vain than the name Christ. Yet what a glorious title this is. The word means anointed. Anointed. In the Old Testament, there were three offices that men could hold that God required them to be anointed. That means oil. Just a little oil would have been poured on their head, signifying that they were being set aside for service to God and his people. And the three offices, prophet, priest, and the king, all those offices and the men who filled those offices were required by God to be anointed. And the Lord Jesus is the anointed one. Every prophet, priest, and king that ever went before pictured, represented the Lord Jesus. He is prophet, priest, and king to you and to me. He is appointed by God to be our prophet, priest, and king. What does a prophet do? He teaches you God's word. That's what the Lord Jesus does. What does a priest do? Well, he offers sacrifices and prayers for the people of God. That's what the Lord Jesus did. Oh, he didn't offer a bullock or a lamb or anything of that nature. He offered himself. He offered himself. As a priest, he sacrificed himself on the cross to save us. And he's a king. If you're saved, the Lord Jesus is your king. He rules over you. He commands you. He gives you his law. He requires obedience. So the shepherds were clearly telling why it was the one who was born in Bethlehem had come. He was going to be a savior. He was going to be the Christ. But there's another term, Lord. Lord. That word Lord, I think I can say, simply means master. It is translated in some places in the New Testament by that very word, the English word master. Listen to me, you cannot be a Christian unless the Lord Jesus is your master, the one who rules over you and who you obey. Well, there's many people who say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, but they never take any heed to what God's word says. But if you're a Christian, the Lord Jesus is your master. You do his bidding. You obey his voice. You serve him. He's your master. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the verse 17 very wonderfully and famously says, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, all things become new. Because when the Lord Jesus is your master, you begin to live a new life. You walk in a new direction. Everything's different and changed. Everything is different and changed. When somebody joins the army, everything changes. As soon as they walk through the camp as a new recruit, everything changes. They put on a new uniform, throw off what they were wearing before, put on a uniform. Then they're under the command of officers, and they do what they're told, and they submit to the training procedures and the orders that are given to them. Life changes for the man or the woman who joins the army. And so it is with a Christian. You become a new person. He is the Savior, Christ, the Lord. That's why he came. That's why he came. To be all those things to those who trust him. Is he your Savior? Is he to you the one appointed by God? Have you submitted to that? Is he your Lord and Master? That's why Jesus came. And the last thing I want to say is, the angels told the shepherds when Jesus was born. Look at what it says. For unto you is born this day. What day was this? Well, we're not told the date in the calendar. But that day Jesus was born. The shepherds are told this. Now, the day was not the 25th of December. Of that we can be absolutely sure. And this portion of God's word, if it was the only portion we had regarding this matter, makes it clear that he wasn't born on the 25th of December. First of all, we're told that the shepherds were out in the fields by night. Would you lie out in the fields at night now? This is December. The fields are relatively bare, aren't they? Most animals are inside, just above us, 100 yards away. There's a shed full of cows. They haven't been out in the fields for weeks. Because it's winter, it's cold and wet, and for the last few days there was exceedingly frosty, and the animals are brought in, sheltered. And it gets cold, you know, in Israel. We know that in the summertime it's beautiful, warm, very, very warm. But it gets cold in the wintertime. It's not uncommon for Israel to have snow in the wintertime. In fact, Jerusalem nearly would as often have snow as we would here. We haven't had snow, really, for quite a number of years, if I'm not mistaken. And probably in those years, Jerusalem had snow, while we hadn't. That gives you an idea, boys and girls, of what winter time in Israel is like. The fact that they were out in the fields indicates that it wasn't December that this announcement was made by the angels. It says they were in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. The word that is used is abiding. The shepherds were abiding in the fields. And that word abiding means they were living in the fields. They weren't living in their homes. They were living in the fields with the sheep. Now, in the good weather time in Israel, you could lie out at night without the slightest bit of bother. Far, far warmer than we know. And so you could have your, say, a sleeping bag, and you could lie out there in the open air quite easily. And that's what it was in this story. The shepherds were living in the fields with their sheep when the angels came. So it wasn't December. It wasn't December. Now, can we find out from the Bible roughly when the Lord Jesus was born? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Remember some weeks ago I mentioned that in the earth, beneath the surface, there's gold, there's silver, there's diamonds, there's rubies, all sorts of things. In the depths of the sea, there are pearls. And you have to dig or dive to get these treasures. And at times, there's information in the Bible that you have to search out. And when we come to working out when it was the Lord Jesus was born, we have to do a wee bit of searching. Not really difficult. Let me first and foremost tell you that the Lord Jesus was 6 months younger than John the Baptist. We're told that. He was born 6 months after John the Baptist. Can we tell when John the Baptist was born? Well, yes, we can. Earlier in Luke's Gospel again, we were told about Mary being informed that she was going to have a little baby, and she went to see her friend, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And when she was told that she was going to have a little baby, Elizabeth, a short time later, had her son, John the Baptist. And after she had her son, 6 months later, Mary gave birth here in Bethlehem to the Lord Jesus. So when was John the Baptist born? Well, we can work out from the announcement given to John's father, and that's also in the Gospel of Luke. John the Baptist's father was Zacharias, and he was told by an angel that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to have a baby. And when he was told, sure enough, 9 months later, a baby was born. John the Baptist. Now, when was he told? Oh, about the month of June. How do I know? Well, Zacharias served in the temple, and he was in the temple doing his service when he was told that he would have a son. And we're told where it was in the order of priests. It was a schedule. They didn't serve the whole time, but a priest came, served for a week, and then went home again. And another priest, and served for a week, and went home again. And we know when it was Zacharias served in the temple, and he would have gone home, and it would have been about June time. It's all there. It's all there. And 9 months from June, well, that brings you to February, March. 6 months later, the Lord Jesus was born. March, April, May, June, July, August. Well, in August, you could lie out the field in Israel, couldn't you? It'd be warm. Exceeding warm. In fact, you probably would be glad to be outside that warm inside. So that's when the Savior was born. That time of the year. August, September. That time of the year. Not December 25th. Why is December the 25th the day that the world says Jesus was born? Because December the 25th, long before Jesus was born, was the date of a pagan feast. The heathens had a big celebration, a mid-winter celebration. And then when the gospel spread across the countries, there were those who said, let's change this pagan feast into a Christian feast. That's why I want nothing whatsoever to do with the festivities on the 25th of December. What is the chief mark of the 25th? Drunkenness. The police force has to take special measures to stop people behaving in a drunken fashion in the street and on the road. It's not the day of Saviour's birth, as I told you. It was much earlier in the year, in the time of warm weather. That's when Jesus was born. So, dear boys and girls, I don't want you ever to find yourself involved in the activity that are called Christmas. Rather, I want you to do what the shepherds did. What did they do? Well, we're told, verse 15, it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as the angels had said. God's word's always true. What the angels had said was found to be true by the shepherds. When they found the babe in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They said, let us go now. They didn't say, well, boy, that was some experience. Did you see the angels? Oh, where do we tell everybody about the angels? No, they didn't tell everybody about the angels, but chiefly they told about Lord Jesus, the child. And they said, let us go now to Bethlehem. Let's go and see what God has revealed to us. He has told us this, that we might go and see the child. That's why God has preserved for us this book. That's why God has given us the gospel. That's why God has given us the gospel. That we might go. That we might heed it. That we might obey it. That we might find the Saviour. And then, having found him, tell everybody about it. That's the story of the birth of Christ. Don't let anybody tell you anything different, boys and girls. The Lord bless you. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, bless your word to the hearts of the children. Please, may it have an impact upon them like that word the shepherds heard. They rose up immediately and said, we'll go and see. Let us go now. In the middle of the night, off they went to Bethlehem. Lord, I pray that you'll take care of the school, be with it, meet all its needs, and bless each one of its staff and pupils, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.